Good evening. Welcome to Left, Right and Center. I'm Vishnu Shom on the program. A storm brews across the Pacific as former President Trump threatens to slap steep tariffs on our nation's exports to America. What is Trump's reasoning to shield American jobs and curb our trade surplus? But there's a sharper edge, additional tariffs, if India continues its fuel imports, branding them a prop for hostile regimes. Now, this isn't just trade policy, it's a challenge to our sovereignty. India has always made the point that we will continue to import oil from Russia. Now, these tariffs could hit our textiles, pharmaceuticals, IT sectors very hard. It will also raise costs for American consumers. It potentially risks thousands of Indian jobs. The fuel penalty stings deeper, targeting our energy security while ignoring India's complex geopolitical balancing act. Yes, we import oil from Russia, but aren't we also investing billions in renewables? Is what Trump is doing fair at all? Now, Donald Trump's move demands a response. It's a test of India's resilience. Some say that we face these challenges and we'll work that relationship with America once again. Well, joining us now, Ambassador Manjeev Puri. I'm also joined by Dr. Anshul Avijit of the Congress and Rajat Sethi, the Economist. Ambassador Puri, how do we resolve this mess with America?
Vishnu, thank you very much for having me on the program. Look, we have an ongoing set of relationships with the United States. And even for on the matter of tariffs, their trade team is coming here towards the end of August. Look, I don't think this was particularly unexpected. The figures, exactly 25%, etc., may have been expected to be a little lower, 17 that the Indonesians got. And the fact that we are importing oil from Russia, and they've been saying about it, and you know that we have been on record, our ministers have said, look, we have to do what we have to do for our national interest and for the well-being of our people. We've said it. Now, therefore, these things are there. They are okay. This is the way the world sort of interacts. And hardball politics is being played by President Trump. We are a large country, a very large player, but also a country which believes that good relations with the United States is important, and I think we will continue to deal with it. I want to make one or two small points to you. Our total trade with the United States is about $125 billion. We export about 85, and they export about 40. Our trade to the United States, principally our exports to the United States, consist of bulk drugs. I'm not so sure they can easily replace them so easily, and polished diamonds, etc. So, you know, Vishnu, it isn't such a simple matter. This tariffs is not a straightforward matter. Mr. Trump and his advisors argue it's great for the United States. Most economists say that it'll hurt you, at least in the short run. We'll see what happens. But it gives a signal, as you very rightly said. It signals that, you know, are you truly friend or you're not? But I would separate that. I would say, let's look at it like this. This is a relationship between two large economies. Mr. Trump is doing what he thinks is good for his politics and for his country. We need to do what is good for us. Continue our engagement with them. That's important.
All right. Anshul Avijit, do you believe that India needs to continue our engagement with the United States? Donald Trump says something in the morning and changes his mind by the evening.
No, Vishnu, this was not an engagement. There has been no engagement. There was no negotiation. This is a one-way street. You know, this is a classic case of India getting bullied by the bully. You know, the Modi government can bare its fangs to the opposition, to the people of India, but it can't do it to the US. It hasn't been negotiating. There have been 5 trips. Mr. Piyush Goyal has gone there a couple of times. What happened? What was the end of it? What was the conclusion? It's been zilch. They have been dictated. Terms have been dictated and we are forced to follow it. Doesn't speak well of our foreign policy. Doesn't speak. And by the way, everything will now be affected, right? So all these years of currying favor with the Modi government and Apki Baar, Trump's Sarkar, Namaste Trump, and all that has come to zilch. That's number one. Our exports are going to be severely affected. Vietnam has got a less tariff than we have. So our China plus policy will go into shambles. Anyway, our manufacturing was a complete disaster. As we've seen by the figures, it barely rose above 17% as a percentage of our GDP all these years. Modi promised to bring it to 25%. That's failed. So our economy is completely in shambles anyway. This is going to be severely affected. We have no place in the negotiating table over there. Our rupee is going to get weakened because of more dollar inflows. That's another point. We've got hostile neighbors, and you can include US in that. I mean, you can call Trump whatever you want. You can call him impetuous. You can call him irrational. You can call him a maverick, whatever he wants. But he's the most powerful man by virtue of being the president of the most powerful country in the world, which has $30 trillion. I mean, where are we? We're 10 times less, and we haven't got any power.
Okay. All right. Okay. Rajat, respond.
I mean, I have no response to the opposition party. If they have a better plan to deal with Trump, please table it. I would be very happy from an intellectual standpoint to understand what does the India's principal opposition party have to say in terms of engaging with Mr. Donald Trump. We've seen how the Chinese tried attempted with, you know, dealing with Trump, and they saw officials walking off middle of the conversations. You know, this is going to go on. I don't see this having material impact on trade because it is universal in nature. The base rate of 15% is true for every country. So all countries have to face that. Some of the critical items like pharmaceuticals and bunch of other things were anyway, even previously left out of the scope of the tariffs, and it will continue that way. And I believe, you know, Trump has issued those letters, and he had to, before the 1st of August deadline, he has to issue these letters. And every country in a round-robin manner will get those letters from President Trump. So we should just relax. You know, nothing, the heavens are not going to fall. If at all things happen, it is going to increase the prices of these goods and services for the audience or for the citizens of US. They need to worry about it. Trump is answerable to them. Let them figure it out.
Okay.
It is going to play out. All the $300 billion that Trump has been able to raise through tariffs, where has it come from? Of course, not from India and China. It has come out as a sort of a taxation on the people of US. So let's not jump with anxieties stretching from one extreme to the other extreme. To have a more sort of a longest view, India-US relationships is not going to change with one president coming in or going. It is a larger sort of a relationship between two very, very big countries, and look at the long arc, not at small events that happen.
Ambassador Puri, we aren't talking about the real sting in what Trump said. It's not the 25%. It's actually India's continued import of oil. India has said repeatedly that, look, this has to continue. It's our energy security. We are a large country, etc., etc. The foreign minister has said it ad nauseum around the world and in America as well. If Trump now challenges that, then this goes beyond a trade discussion. It is something which, at one level, sort of challenges the relationship. I won't say threatens, but I do believe it challenges the relationship.
Vishnu, you are absolutely right. And Vishnu, please pardon me. You know, I am not a member of the government anymore. I'm a retired former Foreign Service officer. I don't want to answer our friend from the Congress party. I think he should know better as to, you know, who started this bettering the relationship. Let me make one little point to you. We talk a lot about strategic autonomy, but we must start believing in it also. So let me leave it. I think I've said what I had to say on this business of relationship with the United States. You are right. Look,
I'm not going to let you go so easily. If you say we must maintain our autonomy, does that mean that we need to tell America directly?
You know,
we will continue importing oil.
This relationship
with
the United States. Yeah, this United States relationship is an interesting one as it has evolved over, let me say, the last 20 odd years. Yeah. We now no longer use non-alignment. We speak of multi-alignment, all very well. We are a member of the Quad. We've had these relationships going with them for a long time, etc. All very well. We have this issue of China, a very major player. If we had been in Latin America, things would have been very different, but we are not. We have a border relationship. There is a contestation. There is an issue on all of this particular thing. We know all these things. So it's a relationship which, you know, needs to take into account all of this. Mr. Trump comes in there and, you know, has a, let me say, much more nationalist, their own sort of oriented thing. And possibly, if I'm willing to say, he says friends are fine, but, you know, It's my benefits is what I'm looking for. Okay. Friendship alone is not sufficient. So given this particular thing, let me make this point to you on this point that you mentioned about oil imports, etc. Look, we have to be mindful. We need oil imports. About 80% of our oil requirements are met from imports. It won't be an easy thing to do other things. I'm sure we are looking at alternatives, ramping up domestic production. We're looking at all of these. But, you know, strategic autonomy also means sometimes you have to actually play the game.
Okay, sometimes you need to play the game. Okay. Anshul and Rajat, we've got 1 minute each for both of you. Anshul, Avijit, go ahead. Let me phrase that as a question. The India-US strategic relationship was really built up by Dr. Manmohan Singh. The nuclear agreement between the two sides, it was then built on by the NDA. We got into decades of negotiations with in terms of the foundational agreements, lots of disagreements, then we finally agreed. So do we not need to give America a longer rope? You know, Trump is here today, he won't be here in a few years. Is that something that the Congress should look at?
No, we were expecting America to give us a longer rope to neutralize China. That was the expectation out there. That hasn't worked out because, you know, you've entertained General Asif Munir in the White House. Their loans being given, which can be easily funneled for terrorism. You haven't prevented it doing anything. So it's really the other way around. And as far as Mr. Trump is concerned, well, he's not a difficult person. He's a difficult person to understand. But it's never America first for him, because enough critics in America themselves have critiqued him for the very tariffs which will harm American interests.
Okay.
But nonetheless, you know, that is not the point. China will get away with this. What China does is depreciates. It actually improves its imports after severe tariffs are imposed. India will just, you know, we've lost our sovereignty. And by the way, that we don't know if these tariffs include the baseline 10% or not.
No, they don't. That is supposed to be over and above. Okay, hold on.
Yeah, Rajat, over and above and the penalty.
Rajat, 45 seconds. Go ahead.
How much is that going to be?
Anshul, out of time. That's the only reason I mean. Rajat, 45 seconds. I'm being unfair to you, Rajat.
That's fine. I still don't agree that we have lost our sovereignty. That is too tall a claim to make. And we should therefore, not worry about the immediacy around it. There is a media spectacle that President Trump wants out of the 1st of August. It is all the buildup that he wants. And after a few couple of months, when the real fine details will be negotiated out, and we are in no hurry. And this is what has been clear even from the press release of the government of India, that we are in no hurry. We will protect our interest and we'll keep negotiating. Okay. Where is the negotiating window of opportunity ended? It hasn't ended. It will carry on. Okay. And let's not worry about the 1st August deadline and look at what is going to happen over the next couple of
all
months.
Right. Well, I'd like to thank you all very much for being with us. I thought it's important to bring in an America perspective over here. I spoke to one of America's senior diplomats who's really built the relationship with India, Atul Keshab. Here's what he told me a little while back. I'm joined now by somebody who's really driven that diplomatic and economic partnership between India and the United States for years, Ambassador Atul Keshab. Thanks very much, sir, for being with us. In just the last 5 minutes or so, Ambassador, there's been a statement from the government of India. The upshot of it is that, and I quote, "The government will take all steps necessary to secure our national interest, as has been the case with other trade agreements, including the latest comprehensive economic and trade agreement with the UK. And they say earlier on in that same statement, the government has taken note of the statement by the US president. We are studying the implications. India and the US have been engaged in negotiations on concluding a fair, balanced and mutually beneficial bilateral trade agreement. This being the case, was President Trump's announcement entirely unexpected for you?"
Well, Vishnu, thanks for having me on. I think just hearing that Indian government statement, it sounds very reasonable and measured and is entirely in keeping with a country that, you know, does some careful thinking before it acts. So let's see where this goes from here. But from my perspective and that of the business community, and I'm speaking to you from Los Angeles, where we just had our US-IBC 50th anniversary summit here. we need to see this deal done. It is an important psychological signal of confidence in both directions. It reinforces the strategic, economic, and technological convergence between the United States and India. In the absence of a deal, especially if, as you said, the EU, Japan, Vietnam, Indonesia, and others have deals, then it starts to create some uncertainty in the U.S.-India relationship. So my suggestion would be, respectfully, that this is a time where both governments have done some very careful negotiating. There's been some very important concessions made by both sides. Clearly, there's some impatience because it's been about a month, as far as we've heard, since the deal was essentially concluded by the negotiators, and it hasn't yet been struck. And so from the business community perspective, we would wish that it be struck. And so if the leaders can pick up the phone and talk to each other, work through this, come to an agreement that helps enhance India's competitiveness, its access to the gigantic American market, that would be good. So I'm hoping that we can get it done. And we're at the goalposts now, the finishing line, whatever you want to call it. And there's been a little bit of public negotiating happening, but that means that we are at the point where it needs to get closed off.
I think the bigger concern beyond the deal is the reference to India's continued import of Russian energy. Now, that's something where the government of India doesn't want to bend at all. They've made it very clear. You've seen the foreign minister travel all over the world. You know, we have a huge population, massive energy requirements. Is that a deal breaker?
Well, you know, India has been a prime mover and first mover on these trade negotiations. It was first in line in many ways. You know, the Prime Minister was a very early visitor to the White House. There was that wonderful joint statement that came out that reflected all of our fantastic work together. And I would note on this the great things we do, like the NISAR launch and the Axiom launch and so much else. So what's happening in this negotiation is that there is, I think, a clear desire by the White House that there be more Indian energy purchases of U.S. hydrocarbons and U.S. molecules. Other countries have taken a different tactic where they have come out with announcements before the deals were even struck about the things that they would be purchasing from the United States. This was mentioned in conversations over the months since the election about the possibility of buying more American defense articles, more American energy, more American agricultural goods. So that, in the absence of those announcements, I think what you're getting is this. But this is now a point where India can decide how it wishes to react. And India is a sovereign nation. It will do whatever is in its best interests. But there's an opportunity here for India to remain part of the system that shapes the global norms on trade. India is an important country. It's a growing country. It has greater and greater influence. The business community remains very interested in India. So the opportunity exists for India not only to preserve its access to the American market for pharma, for textiles, for agriculture, for jewelry, for engineering goods, and so much else, but also to enhance its status as a rule maker in these trade deals and not just a taker.
No, but Ambassador Keshav, in as much as you know, many want that U.S.-India economic relationship to really prosper, I do believe it's the mention of India's import of Russian weaponry and certainly the continued import of Russian energy, which would attract additional tariffs, which could potentially be some sort of deal breaker. Even if it's not a deal breaker in the context of a trade agreement, it does appear to take put the relationship under an element of strain, because this is something that India is not willing to give up on, our autonomy. You know, I mean, and Foreign Minister Jaishankar has repeatedly said that there are double standards in the West. For example, he's spoken about double standards in Europe on their partial dependence on Russian energy as well. Be that as it may, India will always seek to continue with that. Now, if America, as arguably our closest strategic partner, says, you do that and we put tariffs on you over and above the other tariffs, then does that not put strain on that relationship which you have worked, among others, to really push?
Well, look, we're in different times. You know, the president has shown his frustration with Vladimir Putin. The president tried rather forcefully to arrange a ceasefire between Russia and Ukraine. That failed largely because of Russian recalcitrance. And look, I get the need to keep the lights on and to keep the energy and the economy flowing everywhere around the world. That is something that a country like India absolutely needs to do, given that it's, you know, it has a very large population. But with regard to the Europeans, they have been stepping up. They have been giving weapons to Ukraine. They have been giving political support, financial support. They have been trying their best to see that Russia does not essentially conquer or annex an independent member state of the United Nations. And yeah. So I think what's happening here is you're seeing some of the frustration in the American system about the war continuing, many, many thousands of civilians being killed unnecessarily, the president having tried very hard. And look, I don't speak for the U.S. government or for the White House, but I do think that there has to be an understanding of rising frustration in the United States. And I think that's what you're seeing coming out of the White House now. And so I go back to where I really spend my professional career. Can we, in the midst of all of this geostrategic tension and churn, strengthen the U.S.-India relationship? You know, the U.S. and India face the same challenges, the same great power competition. In fact, some of the same adversaries. And we're better off together than we are apart, especially if there becomes a real crisis in Asia, in that great power competition. And this is where I would urge both governments to think long-term, about the long-term standing of the U.S. and India as part of the Quad in the Indo-Pacific, what it would mean to come to a reasonable trade deal that has been well negotiated by both sides, professional negotiators in India and America. I think now is the time for the two leaders to speak to each other, pick up the phone, close the deal, cement further our strategic convergence, economic convergence, technological convergence, lest things get worse. And I think, you know, we've got to act.
No, absolutely, because to not act after all this work has been done would be disappointing. Already reactions from Indian industry are along expected lines. They're very disappointed. The Federation of Indian Chambers of Commerce and Industry says, and I quote, "FICCI disappointed by 25% tariffs, secondary sanctions. The move is unfortunate, will have a clear bearing on our export. We hope high tariffs will be a short-term phenomena. Detailed deliberations are underway, etc., etc." But, you know, that's one major Indian, business sort of chapter. We're expecting a statement from the Confederation of Indian Industry as well. So many Indian sectors of the Indian economy are badly exposed now if there are tariffs. Pharma, for example, so many Indian companies, just off the top of my head. If the two leaders don't get on the phone and sort this out, you know, I mean, I just don't know what to say, Ambassador Keshav. I'm at a loss of words. 2 weeks back, we were discussing whether this would be a mini deal leading up to a massive deal, or it would be a massive deal, and maybe that's what both nations need to do. And here we are, several steps back.
So the deal, as far as I know, has been essentially complete for about a month. And for some reason, there hasn't been closure. This is a time to act because things are getting more and more turbulent in world affairs. The president, you can see, is a consistent peacemaker in the sense that he always wants to try to resolve conflicts. Look at what happened within Thailand and Cambodia, Russia, Ukraine. You know, look at his overtures to China to try to reduce tensions between the United States and China. This is where, as someone who runs a large trade council with 200 of the largest companies in India and America, we would want Washington and Delhi to cement their bilateral relationship and their relationship within the context of the Quad by actually concluding this agreement. It is, as you said, dangerous if we do not. India risks being left behind. The U.S. market is a $30 trillion market. Our economy is growing at 3%, which is, you know, sprinting by developed world standards. Our technology, our FDI, our know-how, our capability remains as strong as ever. And, you know, we want to grow the trade relationship between the United States and India. $200 billion a year is underpowered. So this deal sends a powerful psychological message of positivity that gives business confidence to invest in each other's countries. In the absence of a deal, it also sends a very negative psychological message. And I wouldn't want to be a jewelry exporter in Surat if I had to deal with these tariffs and have to deal with adding that to my exports to the United States. Jewelry, agriculture, farming, pharma, textiles. There's so many areas where it can be damaging. And so I think it's time, you know, for the leaders to talk, if I can respectfully say that, and try to get this thing locked down. And then we go on to other stuff.
Sure.
Because, Vishnu, we've had so many strategic agreements between the United States and India. Intelligence, law enforcement, technological, space, diplomatic, military. We have barely any economic agreements. We have an open skies treaty that has served us well. And here's my bottom line. Anything that opens up access in both directions is good for America and good for India.